Well, Detroit just recently narrowly averted bankruptcy, thanks in part to a deal with the state of Michigan. But my next guest says this fix is only temporary, and it's actually only a matter of time before Detroit files for bankruptcy. Joining me now is Shika Delmia, senior policy analyst for Reason Foundation. You know, I watched this high drama and paid a lot of attention to it. There were so many factors. You had the unions, you had the state, you had local government, you had the potential of an urban uprising. All of these things, and it came down to the wire, and still it's not truly resolved, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, finally, the city council and the mayor agreed to sign this consent agreement that the governor had been pushing, but it's an extremely watered-down consent agreement. You know, the basic problem in Detroit is that you have a very, very small class of taxpaying citizens supporting a very large class of public sector unions, and the legacy costs are just simply unsustainable. So you can't tax fast enough to pay for all the promises that you have made, and the more you tax the productive class, the more it leaves the city. And so eventually the solution is that you've got to do something about these legacy costs, which unions are, of course, you know, not going to agree to. And what the governor had wanted to do was appoint this financial review board, which would have sweeping powers to void these contracts. But that's not something that the city's leaders are, you know, willing to do.
But the governor was in the driver's seat in this, wasn't he, Rick Snyder?
He
had three options, right? He had the consent agreement, the board you're talking about, or just sort of to push them into bankruptcy. Why didn't he play harder ball with these guys?
You know, that's a very good question. I mean, essentially, he lost all negotiating leverage with the union when he gave them $137 million to borrow on the city's credit card. I mean, Detroit has already maxed out its credit cards, which is why it didn't have enough operating cash to actually pay its meet its payroll till the end of this month. So if Snyder hadn't jumped in and given this $137 million, Detroit would have been bankrupt by the end of April.
Let's talk a little bit about the numbers for the people watching at home. I think they have $13 billion in pension obligations.
Yeah. Well, $13 billion
in
accumulated
debt. Okay.
Yes.
And then I think they were like down to like $40 or $50 million, which is about 1 month's worth of outlays or something to that
right.
degree.
Yeah. Right.
So I mean, they're literally living day to day today. I mean, one day
right.
at a time for these guys.
Right.
What do you sense is going to happen now?
Well,
what do you think the ultimate outcome is going to be?
So, well, what's going to happen is this fight is going to get dragged out. I mean, Detroit now has enough money with this $137 million to drag out the fiscal year.
But they've been dragging it out for a decade.
But meantime, what's going to happen is they're going to drag this out for the year. At the same time, they haven't rewritten their contracts with the unions. So they are on the hook for the same kind of liability, you know, till the end of the
right.
year. The hope is by that time the mayor and the city council will rewrite these agreements. But when they do that, there could well be riots on the streets because unions are not going to take this lying down.
Yeah, I mean,
So with the result that, you know, you're going to be on the hook for another 6 months and then you'll go into bankruptcy and then it'll be even worse.
I had someone from Detroit, a professor who teaches out there, tell me that Detroit deserves a bailout a la GM. And of course, you can always feel this. You know we're being set up. Every time you hear that the bailouts work, you know we're being set up
right.
for the next handout.
Right.
I mean, but here's the thing, and I know you don't want to get too much into this, but the same guy told me that the literacy rate was only 47%.
That's right.
Why? If someone said, Charles, can you invest in my company? By the way, 53% of my workers can't read. I'd say, hell no.
Right.
I mean, so what's the deal? I mean, who's going to win this battle?
Well, you know, what the professor didn't tell you was, yes, there was a bailout for GM and Chrysler, but at the same time, those companies lost a lot of control over their
sure.
own operations. That's what Detroit's leaders don't want to give up. They don't want to give up the political control because, you know, they want to, you know, be the bosses in Detroit. Now, with respect to the social problems of Detroit, I mean, which company is going to go and locate in a city that doesn't yeah. have a pool of talented workers?
Absolutely.
And the problem is you're driving these workers out by
right.
taxing them to pay for your legacy costs for the unions.
Shika Delmia, thank you so much for staying on this. We got to get you back because this is an amazing story, in part because this could be a microcosm for this entire country.
Absolutely.
We need to pay attention. Thanks a lot.